Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So imagine with me the scene of our gospel reading this morning. It's Maundy Thursday, there in the upper room. Each of the disciples has received a bit of broken bread from Jesus' own hand. Each disciple sipping the blessed wine from the gray cup. Jesus' riddles wash over them. My body, my blood for you. I will not eat or drink of this Pascha, this Passover again, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom. And then that final puzzle. My betrayer's hand is on the table. Hands yank off the wooden planks, fingers point, whispers burst like pigeons over the remaining bits of lamb and bread. All of the insecurities and rivalries of the last 3 years now come to a head. The fingers, yes, the fingers are pointing. I bet it's Bartholomew, Richie Rich. I bet it's him. Oaths begin to bellow out. By God, some of us actually care about the kingdom. Some of us have worked hard. Some of us don't have daddy's money to fall back on. I bet if anyone's a traitor, it's Bartholomew. In that moment of uncertainty, difficulty, even fear, the disciples explode into rivalry, into envy. Legend has it that Bartholomew was wealthy. His name in Aramaic, Bartholmai. Son of the furrows or son of the plowed ground, most likely the son of a wealthy landowner, a wealthy farmer. And this is why our lectionary offers us this story on St. Bartholomew's Day. Because Mother Church suggests that Bartholomew's success in life was a spark for jealousy and rivalry, envy even, among the other disciples. In that moment of uncertainty, difficulty, and even fear, they couldn't be happy for someone else. All of that rivalry that had been boiling up exploded, and the hands yanked off the table and pointed. If someone's a traitor, it's got to be Bartholomew, Richie Rich. And how many times in your life has your voice joined in that competition? Maybe you're bellowing even now. A strange word from Jesus. My betrayer's hand is on the table. And you yank your hand off the table and you begin to point. Bartholomew, it's got to be Bartholomew. He's the kind of person who would betray you, Lord. Bartholomew has everything you want in life. And wouldn't it be delightful to just see him go down, just see him put in his place for once, see him trip up? There's something in human nature that slips easily into rivalry, competition, and even envy. One could say that it's a kind of latent survival instinct. And perhaps there's an element of truth in that. But something deeper lurks, something devilish. In a moment of uncertainty, difficulty, even fear, we explode into rivalry, into envy. I recall a time right after graduate school when I was applying for teaching jobs. I've told you of that dark period before, but I had a friend from seminary who was applying for all of the same jobs. It was one of those handsome, athletic types, just confident. He'd done a PhD under one of the top Paul scholars in the world. Just very bright. Again, as I said, confident. And the phone interviews came and went. And he received calls back from two of the institutions. He received on-campus interviews from two of the institutions. He received two contracts, two job offers from the two institutions. And I didn't. And all of my insecurities and the rivalry of the past few years came to a head. I yanked my hand off the table and I began to point. Bartholomew! Bartholomew! He's got to be... He's Bartholomew. He's the one where everything seems to go his way. Those were my jobs. I deserved them. I worked harder. By God, if someone deserves this in the kingdom, it's me. The competitive spirit roiled my soul. The jealousy obsessed me. And I was a slave. I couldn't see it, by the way. My wife could sure see it, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't be happy that someone else was successful. I couldn't be happy that someone else was happy. St. Gregory the Great, the famed Bishop of Rome, once observed, "How great is the unhappiness of those who become worse because of the betterment of their neighbors." What is more unfortunate, says Gregory, what is more unfortunate than those who are made even more wicked by the sight of happiness? But here at the Paschal table, Jesus invites all of his disciples, all of us, into another way of life. In this moment of uncertainty, difficulty, even fear, Jesus serves others, us, with his life, with his flesh and blood. He invites all of us to participate in his broken body and in his poured out blood. He invites us into the freedom of not having to win, not having to compete with one another, and not having to live as slaves of envy, jealousy, and rivalry. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For which is greater, the one who sits at table or the one who serves? Which is greater, the one who's sitting at the table or the one who's breaking the bread and handing it out or pouring the wine into the cup? Which is greater? Is it not the one who sits at table? But I am among you as one who serves." In a moment of uncertainty, difficulty, even fear, Jesus serves up himself. He serves his life to his disciples. Because, of course, Jesus does not win in Jerusalem. He loses. He loses to Barabbas. He loses to the Pharisees. He loses to the Sadducees. He loses to Pilate. He loses to Herod. He loses to the Roman soldiers. He loses to Judas, the one whose hand is actually on the table. And he loses to those who abandon him in his moment of need, the 11 and all of us. He loses. And yet in that moment of difficulty, uncertainty, even fear, Jesus does not yank his hand from the table and point, "Bartholomew, you, Bartholomew." No. Jesus serves us his body and blood. Jesus lives in freedom. Freedom. He does not have to envy the winners. He doesn't writhe with jealousy. Instead, he lives in the joy of the Passover table. He serves us his sincere love at the table, his happiness, his life. This is my body, which is given for you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. Here on the cross's wooden table, Jesus serves us his own life. He serves us his goodwill. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus serves free of envy, and he invites us into the freedom of that table serving. The freedom that when life becomes uncertain, we don't have to jerk our hand off the table and point, Bartholomew, he's probably the one who would betray you. Richie Rich, we know everything goes easy for him. No. Instead, he invites us into the freedom to be in Christ, free to serve his broken body and blood. Free to serve them to our rivals. We are free then to lose our lives so that we might find them. A few years after my earlier bout with Bartholomew, another Bartholomew popped up. Another one of my friends, this time from the same graduate school I had gone to, got a job out of nowhere. And strangely enough, in that moment, Jesus, by his Spirit in me, began to serve up a broken body and poured out blood. I began to serve up my broken body and poured out blood. I was strangely happy for him. Strangely happy. I was free. It felt like I had gotten the job. I was thrilled for him. All because of Jesus poured out blood and broken body. Jesus invites us to serve up our life at the table. And so will you come and be free of your envy? Will you let go of having to win over Bartholomew? Instead, will you give up your love for others, your body and blood in a Eucharistic life? Sisters and brothers, come this morning and be free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.